Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, America's 2024 report card is out, and the new data offers cause for hope, but a lot of concern, too. So the good news is in math, students held steady or even made up some ground lost during the pandemic. But there's bad news, and its reading scores are still dropping. Not one state improved their eighth grade reading score.
Come on.
Overall, most students are still performing below 2019 levels.
Well, Dana Perino giving us a little bit of an education on the state of education in our country right now. And I have to say, there are a lot of places where you're like, well, that's just the school I have to go to. It's failing. What are you going to do about it? School choice, that's what you can do about it. Push for school choice in your state, in your communities. And we are doing that this week in our partnership with the Lutheran Elementary School Association to establish a scholarship to help benefit local kids. Lisa with an E, LESASTL.org. /Annie. We're working to get to $15,000. I'll give you an updated amount. We're about halfway there. So please come join us at that website. The champion for school choice, Corey DeAngelis, is back with us once again. Senior fellow at the American Culture Project, adjunct scholar at the Cato Institute. It's so great to have you back here, Corey. Thank you, especially this week while we are focused on celebrating the idea of school choice.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Annie.
So talk to me about, we're in a different administration right now. It's kind of like a whole new world. I'm very interested to see what the hearing happens when we have the Secretary of Education nomination being discussed. We're not quite there yet. Are we closer to having school choice in our country today than we were maybe a few years ago?
Well, we certainly are at the state level. We've had 12 states go all in on school choice in the past 4 years. Past 4 years, we've had more advancement on school choice than in the preceding four decades. We're winning so much, I'm almost getting tired of winning. But there's also some good news at the federal level, too. The cabinet selection of Linda McMahon, she's a big proponent of school choice. I hope she body slams that unconstitutional Department of Education once and for all, or at least maybe gives it death by a thousand cuts. Trump has campaigned on sending education back to the states in the form of block grants. Give that money back to localities. You'll have more local control. The states can spend the money on education as they see fit. And when it comes to school choice, this is a really good day to talk about it. It is National School Choice Week. Congress just reintroduced, or at least Republican lawmakers introduced, a nationwide school choice bill in Congress today, this morning, actually. It's backed by Speaker Mike Johnson. President Trump said he would sign the bill. It's called the Educational Choice for Children Act. It's a federal tax credit. So you're getting to keep more of your own private dollars, using that for K-12 education expenses instead of giving it over to the government in the first place. And it's neither run nor regulated by the Department of Education. So you could do both. You can abolish the department while also expanding school choice, supercharging the initiatives that are already happening in red states, while also expanding opportunities to families who happen to live in blue states that are controlled by the teachers' unions.
Well, I live in Illinois, so I understand what that's like. We're speaking with Corey DeAngelis right now about school choice and its progress so far. So you're talking about eliminating the Department of Education. I think we could be closer to that than we have been. I don't know in my lifetime when it would have been closer than right now. What are the proponents of the Department of Education going to say about a movement like that?
Well, we're going to lose our jobs. That's all they're concerned about. They don't care about the kids. I mean, the Department of Ed was created supposedly as a way to stop achievement gaps from widening. That hasn't happened. We've spent about $2 trillion at the federal level since its inception. It was actually created in 1979 as a payoff by Jimmy Carter to the teachers unions, the NEA. He wanted to get their endorsement. And outcomes have actually gotten worse. We now spend about $20,000 per kid per year in the government schools. That's about 52% higher than average private school tuition. And the private schools are doing a lot better at a fraction of the cost. They were open during COVID while the government schools were closed. They held children's education hostage as long as possible, but that woke parents up like we've never seen before. Parents saw the garbage that was included in too many classrooms through remote learning, which we really should have just called it remotely learning. As was mentioned by Dana Perino earlier, the nation's report card scores came out just last night at midnight, showing actually since 2019, a 5-point decline in reading for fourth and eighth graders, and a 3 to 8 point decline since 2019 in math for fourth to eighth graders, respectively. So, and that's after we spent $190 billion in extra federal COVID relief that was really wasted on the schools. They just hired more people. It's become more of a jobs program for adults than an education initiative for kids.
Yeah. And that's the upside down. That's the upside down system of big government. It serves itself. It doesn't serve the actual purpose that it's being sold to the American people by. I've got a comment here from a listener, Christopher, who says that when he's talking with his relatives, the teachers, we all have teachers in our lives. I'm married to a public school teacher myself. So we have these conversations and I do like to listen to what they have to say, because generally speaking, what the teacher thinks will differ than what the teachers' unions and these organizations will think. It's very nice to be able to have those conversations. But Christopher is saying, what about special needs programs and things associated with those special programs? If you get rid of the Department of Education, do we just stop helping kids who don't learn the same way and we don't have these programs any longer?
Yeah, first off, I'd like to clarify that the jobs I'm talking about being extinguished would not be the individual teachers at the state level. I'm talking about the jobs at the Department of Education. They employ over 4,000 people right now, paper pushers, useless bureaucrats in D.C. That money wouldn't just vanish. It would actually mean more money for education going back to the states. There's a bill to do just that right now in Congress. It's called the Returning Education to the States Act. It's proposed by Senator Mike Rounds out of South Dakota. And what would happen is, if you have special needs students, that law would remain intact. It would move under the Department of Health and Human Services. Any civil rights protections would move under the Department of Justice. And the funding that we're talking about in the form of block grants would be transitioned to the Department of Treasury, which would go back to the states to spend as they see fit on education. You'd actually have more money for education because you wouldn't be wasting it on all these people doing a bunch of nothing in D.C.
And also, you know, we've had this conversation before, Corey, but we have a system that kind of perpetuates this march of teachers through the system, but it doesn't necessarily look at the qualifications of the teachers, the exceptional nature of some teachers, the failing nature of some teachers, and really surround the students that are sitting in these desks in these classrooms with the very best teachers that are out there. To me, it seems like a school choice situation where people are getting to choose the education that is certainly the best for their child, that even monetarily, this would still help teachers get paid what they deserve.
Exactly. And the best teachers right now, what are they doing? They're leaving the government school system because they see better opportunities elsewhere. There's no such thing as merit pay in the public schools. The unions fight tooth and nail against any type of pay for performance. And so the teachers who's doing a good job looks across the hallway and says, this person's earning more than me, and they're just showing videos every day just because they've been here longer than me. That's not fair to the teachers. So when you have competition, you also have more of that money that's involved in the public schools right now. Instead of going towards administrative bloat and people like Randy Weingarten, who make over $500,000 a year, it goes to the classroom with competition, because in the current system, if you look at the money, since 1970, we've increased funding per student by about 164%, even after adjusting for inflation. Teacher salaries have been flat over the same period. They've only gone up by 3% in real terms. So I kind of feel for the teachers who complain about having to pay out of pocket for supplies each year But the problem isn't with their competition in the form of private and charter schools. The problem is that their employer is a monopoly that has no incentive to spend money wisely. Real quick, since 2000, the number of students in the system has only increased by about 5%, but the number of administrators in the system has increased by a whopping 95%, 19 times the rate of enrollment increase. It's an insane bureaucratic blob that needs to be reformed for the kids, obviously, but also the teachers who are getting the short end of the stick, too.
Well, I always appreciate your willingness to bring the spotlight directly where it needs to be. And school choice being celebrated this week. If people haven't already, they should follow you on X at DeAngelis Corey, because you're always pushing this stuff out there as soon as it's there's news, just like you were listing today. There's great things to talk about, but the work is just beginning. And it's nice to be in a climate right now where we might actually see some of this come to fruition.
That's right. And Trump just today, he's expected to announce an executive order to direct the Department of Education to find any way it can to expand school choice. So this is great news coming from the top.
Awesome. Corey DeAngelis, thank you for the time today. It's good to have you back.
Thanks, Annie. Good talking to you always.
Yep, you as well. Happy National School Choice Week. It's National Lutheran School Week here on the Annie Fry Show. And I have an update from... it's like maybe 30 minutes ago. And I said we needed to get to $7,000 by 1 o'clock, and we did. We are at, I think it's $7,338 is the update I got about 30 minutes ago. So we're very close to meeting our halfway point for our $15,000 goal. You've got 15 minutes to get us to $9,000, which is outrageous. That would be, I'd fall off my chair. Ryan said he's going to dress like me. This might have been a bad idea. I might have not thought this out all the way. It's Spirit Week here, so we're dressing like our coworkers. I'm dressed like Brad. Brad's going to dress like Ethan. Ethan's going to dress like Ryan, and Ryan is going to dress like me. At 2 o'clock, we're going to have a reveal, and he said that if we got to $9,000, that he would wear lipstick like I wear. And I did get a list of comments from donors, and I got one I'll just highlight here from George, and it's in all caps, "for the lipstick." So it did do some good. I think maybe the biggest win here for Ryan is if we come in at, you know, like $8,900 right at 2 o'clock, he gets off scot-free and we get pretty close to that $9,000 mark. If you are able to, please consider a donation. Small, big, it doesn't matter. Whatever you can afford. LESASTL.org/Annie as we march towards our goal of $15,000. It's a very tall order, but we're excited to take on that opportunity to do it. So let's take a quick break. We'll get Ryan back in here. Ask him how he's feeling. I think he's safe. I told him when I set that goal at $9,000, I'm like, that's not going to happen. And he's like, okay, fine. But he only said the top lip. So we'll see. Ryan Wiggins back in studio in a minute.